Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
I'm very glad for this day of rest that Yahweh has given us, that He has provided us this rest as a memorial, as a sign between us and Him, that He's our Elohim and we are His people. The subject I have to discuss with you today is entitled The Importance of the Name Yahweh. The purpose of this message is to understand deeply how important our Creator's name and how we believers should respect it with honor and fear. Before we delve into this subject, let's review first the meaning of a name so that we can understand how a name is important and in our Creator and even to us is important also. The Hebrew word Shem, or in English, name, appears in the Hebrew Tanakh 381 times. It means, according to the Strong's Hebrew dictionary we have here, it means as an appellation, as a mark or memorial of individuality. And by implication, it means honor, authority, and character. In Hebrew mindset, the name is as important as their being. And you'll find any name in Hebrew scriptures that has no meaning. Even Nabal has meaning. Even Abel has meaning, right? And though personal names has meanings, and some has taken this consideration, that the meanings of the name are, they are using it as a name. That means they say that it is, the name can be translated. Maybe, but the translation is not the name. It is just the meaning of the name. So, personal names are not translated, not meant to be translated. It meant to be transliterated. That is, bringing the sound or phonetic value from one language to another using the other language letters or characters. Because some have no letters, like Chinese, Koreans, they are not called letters. They are called characters. Although, technically, they can be called letters also. Like Hebrew, it has alphabet. It's no alphabet. There are a lot of examples of good transliteration processes here in the land, and I am very amazed at that they have that processes. For example, they have the bank. Don't say bank, it should be bank. So it is Hebrew, it's not English. And they have also Coca-Cola. So they have that, very, very, very sound similar and almost perfect. They have also mayonnaise. When I went to Tiberias with our brethren there here, I'm looking for mayonnaise, and as long as I can read Hebrew, wow, boom, it is mayonnaise. Wow, it really sounds very similar. But what amazed me so much is that how the manufacturers of ketchup has done a very deliberate way in transliterating the word ketchup, which is very well known, right? We have ketchup in the Philippines, everywhere, every part of the world had ketchup, right? And amazingly enough, here in Israel, they have that very interesting process how they come across with the word ketchup. We have that bottle there. And very amazing. If you look at that ketchup there, they retained they even go against with their alphabet rule of changing the ending. Like P, if it's written in the last letter of a word, should be piece of it. It should be a final P. It should be F. But they retain the sound. They retain the P and even put a dagis on the P to really lead the reader that it is not F, it is P. So they have dagis leaning in the letter P. And if they follow their own language, the rules of their language, it should be Kitsap, not Kitsap, right? And it's very funny sometimes. Can you give me some Kitsap? Right? It doesn't make any similar sounds with the word Kitsap. And why they're doing this? Why the Israeli do this thing? We know that they might have some words for Kitsap, maybe. But the thing is, they use that, they retain the sound of the Kitsap. Why? Maybe for not having paying much money for the advertisement, that thing is Kitsap, so they just retain the sound. And at first, I don't understand why they are using that. It is against grammatical rule. But still, they have that. They do that. So it amazed me so much that in any languages in the world, we have about millions, maybe thousands of languages in the world. So there's no barrier. No, there's no barrier in the language per se. We can make anything to leave the sound of a name to be retained in our own dialect, in our own languages. So because Kitsap is famous, so they just do anything to make the thing be known in Israel. So, but now I know that the name is an integral part of everything. Just Coca-Cola, bank, they just retain it because it's important. People won't understand if they will make another name on that. And then, it is very important, being a person, animals, things, ideas, events, and etc. If you want to retain the fame of a foreign famous person in your own language, you have to do something to bring across its exact sound to your own language. If we care for somebody's personality, for example, we have us here, we came from different countries, and we don't want to offend anybody in pronouncing their name. So we have to ask them, how is your name pronounced? We have to be careful not to offend them, right? And it is pleasing for everybody if their names are carefully and correctly pronounced. If not, it's ridiculous, and sometimes it make us think they're mocking me, right? So it's very important. The name is really very important in our in everybody, not just anything, but in everybody. According to Proverbs 21:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And Ecclesiastes 7:1a, it says a similar thing. A good name is better than precious ointment. Every human being is in any way builds their name and protects it by omens, so nothing or no one can destroy it, right? We protect our name. We don't want our name be damaged by anything. Anything we do, anything other people do for us, that it defame us, it defame our personality, our character. Even myself, when I fill up some government forms in the Philippines, like driver's license, professional teacher's license, everything, government forms, the clerk sometimes are not careful to type my name. They type it Orlando instead of Orland. So basically, I will get angry because why Orlando? My name is Orland. If anything happened, it is not me. It's Orlando, because there are a lot of Orlando in the Philippines and might have some similar family names with me. So basically, if they change it, I have to argue that even though you have to get another form to type, you have to, because it's not my name. So they have to change it in its correct spelling, or else my dignity will be taken by another individual, or my personality, or my character will be taken by another individual. It happens many times in the Philippines when you get some NBI clearance that you get stuck because your name appears in the records as criminal. Because there are a lot of people have the same names. So So you have to be identified as you are. So those, you have to do something to really protect us from our individual identity. In contrast, since we have talked about the importance of our names here, in contrast, it is a reproach or shame to anyone who has no name or no identity. Like as we have, I heard Aladon say that if you don't have passports, it's a big trouble. It means you don't exist because you don't have identity. I remember one time we have a trip and I forgot my passport, and it really gives me a very discomforting situation. I really fear that whenever the police or the military people will ask me about my passport, I'll really get to big trouble. We share with that. It didn't. When I get the passport, and Paul and Joshua has not their passport, I was singled out. The lady asked me directly, passport please. So if I don't have passport, it really compromise our trip. Isaiah 4:1, it says her, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name, to take away our reproach. If these seven women might refer to the existing religions in the world, we have Judaism, we have Christianity, we have Islam, Brahmanism, Buddhism, Shintoism, and Taoism. So this major, I think, seven religions in the world, it does make sense to me, because most of these so-called major religions, they are basically, they didn't know whom to worship from the scriptures. In our deeper study about the so-called names of their deities, we boil down to generic titles at best, and names of Baalim at worst, that they don't really represent the true name of our Creator. Even modern Judaism worships Hashem or Adonai, Christianity worships Jehovah, Lord, God, and many substitute names according to their native tongue. And how many tongues we have now? Thousands. So there are thousands of names in their worship. And Islam worships Allah, Brahmanism worships Brahma, Buddhism worships Buddha, Shintoism worships Shinto, and Taoism worships Tao. Every religion has their own way of object of worship or name of their worship. None of these names are his personal name. Maybe Adonai is, I believe, that Adonai is one of the majestic titles, but that is not his personal name. But I don't believe Hashem to be his title. It's just a sign of, just like, what's your name? Your name. It's like that. What's my name, Adrian? Then Adrian will tell me, your name. It's just like a mockery for me if we just call our Heavenly Father by Hashem. When somebody asks you, what's the name of the Heavenly Father? When you say, the name, it doesn't make any sense, right? And everyone has a name, and then the Heavenly Father has the name? He has no name? This is ridiculous, right? And I believe that when we just call him whatever we want him to call, any invented names of mankind or substitute names, we are in effect breaking the third commandment, taking his name in vain. And that's a big... a very heavy law, heavy Torah, because he will not let those who take his name in vain unpunished or guiltless. It's a very important commandment. And the question is, do we know our Creator's name? Yes, we know. Proverbs 30 verse 4 in the Hebraic Roots Bible, it says, who has gone up to heaven and come down, who has gathered the wind in his fist, who has bound the waters in his garments, who has made all the ends of the earth to rise. What is his name and what is his son's name? Sister, surely you know. And I compare it with the Hebrew text. It says here, let's go to the what is his name and what is his son's name? Shemo Oma. Shem. Amashimo Oma Shem Binu Ki Tida. According to the dictionary I look at, ki means surely or doubtless. So it has really that connotation. It might, this question is not anymore a question of no people know, but it's a rhetoric that it magnifies or it emphasizes that every people know his name. Even the King Shomu, who poses this question, knows very well the name Yahweh. So the theory about the lost pronunciation is not anymore in line with this discussion. What is our father's and his name's, it's his son's name then? By context, the name of the father is Yahweh, and his son's name is also Yahweh, right? In context of Proverbs 30 verse 4, the Messiah is not yet born. So his name is Yahweh, his son's name is also Yahweh. We can prove that here in some of the Tanakh. The name Yahweh appears 6,950 times. This is based on the count of the new manuscripts that we have. We are blessed to edit, and we have returned the 134 times where the custodians of the sacred text has changed it from Yahweh to Adonai. We have restored that to Yahweh now. We have that version now. And then after replacing all, after restoring all those imitations or substitution of the name, it reaches to 6,950, almost 7,000 times that his name occurs in the Tanakh. Let's go to Ruth 2:12. This might refer to two Yahwehs here, the two names here. It says here, may Yahweh repay your work, and your wages shall be complete from Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May Yahweh repay your work, and your wages shall be complete from Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, whose wings you have come to take refuge. And another one here is Jeremiah 34:12. It says here, for this reason, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah from Yahweh. So it has, it implies that there are two Yahweh here also. That says, for this reason, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah from Yahweh. And also Isaiah 8:18, it says here, behold, I and the children of Yahweh has given to me are for signs and wonders in Israel from Yahweh of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. It also implies there's two names here. Another one here, 1 Kings 11:9. And Yahweh was angry with Solomon, for his heart had bent away from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. So it has that reference to two Yahwehs here. And most importantly, this verse, Genesis 19:24. And Yahweh on earth rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah from Yahweh out of heaven. It's clear, right? There are two Yahwehs here. So Proverbs 30 verse 4 really proves that people anciently knows his name, knows his son's name. Of course, in Joshua 3:15, Shemot 3:15, Yahweh introduced his name to Moses as Yahweh, and he said it is his memorial throughout all generations. And again, in Exodus 6:2-3, he reiterated and made himself clear to Moses that while he appeared to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob, being El Shaddai. He said he was known by his name Yahweh. Some versions put it as declaratory thing that he said that I appeared to Abraham, to Yitzchak, to Jacob as El Shaddai, but by my name Yahweh they did not know me. They have not known me. So it's in Hebrew it means am I not known to them? So it's a question. It's a rhetoric again. Questions like Proverbs 30 verse 4, emphasizing that the patriarchs really knows his name. It is amazing to know that he also declares, really emphatically declares in Isaiah 42 verse 8. And it is, if we can see, it's really very important. He really takes care and he really give importance in his name. He says, his name is Yahweh and he will not give his glory to another nor his praise to graven images. So it's very clear that he really emphasizes, he declares, he does not want people name him, but he introduces his name. It's just like me. If I want to be called Orland, I want to be called Orly, it's okay because I mean it. But anybody call me Pedro or just like Adrian called by our teacher as Carlos Ortega, when in fact his name is Adrian. So it's really ridiculous, right, Adrian? And sometimes our teacher called him Paul. It's like, you can't really understand, is these people playing on me or something? So it's really amazing that our Creator doesn't want his people to name him, but he has introduced his name anciently. It is amazing to know then that the Son has shared the name Yahweh in the Tanakh. We know for sure that when his Son came down from heaven to die for us, for our sins, of course, he will not take the name Yahweh because Yahweh is eternal. He can't be tortured. He can't be killed in the tree of Calvary. He cannot be crucified or impaled because Yahweh is eternal. So he has taken the name Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. We can also say in Saul's introduction to his epistles in Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:3, Galatians 1:3, Ephesians 1:3, Titus 1:4, Philemon 1:3, Hebrews 1:1-2. That all of these introductory letters of Paul, he always mentions the Father, which is the Father of Yeshua, our Messiah. So it has to be. Same in the Old Testament, in the Proverbs 30 verse 4 question, it also answers here in the New Testament that Yahweh is the Father and Yeshua, Yahweh the Son. So it's clear. And then why we use the name Yahweh instead of another versions? Because we have a lot of variations, so to speak, about the name. People wants to invent, wants to be unique. So they have a lot of variations in pronouncing the name Yahweh. And why we use this Yahweh? You can visit our website, COYG website, www.yswh.com. Look for the article, How is the Name Yahweh Pronounced, under the Bible Study section. Elder Don has an in-depth and documented discussions on how his name is pronounced. You can go over with that sometime. And some of the Christian pastors and laymen I mostly encountered in the Philippines. And I shared them the truth and with the overwhelming evidence. Encyclopedias, dictionaries, lexicons, and anything that proves this name to be Yahweh and Yeshua, they can't deny. They can't really say that it's wrong. They will say it's correct, it's right, it's true. But what is their common reaction on that? They argue that the true names of the Father is not significant. Why? Why do they say that? Because they say it's Hebrew. We are Filipino. We have to use our own language, so to speak. But I argued to them back, if you are Filipino, why use Jehovah? It's Latin. It's Greek. Why use Jesus? It's Greek. It's Latin. So they will argue again that no matter what, at least their heart, even though they don't know the name, they didn't use the name, but their heart speaks to the Father above. So is that reasoning valid? Is Yahweh pleased with that reasoning? That as long as our heart is, our intention is to praise the Heavenly Father in heaven, but we call Him another name, He will not be pleased in that. It is important to know, to believe and call and honor and give glory to His name. It is a salvation issue. It is not just as mundane or anything people may think. Calling on the name, honoring His name is a salvation issue. That's why it's a very important aspect in our belief system. It is the key to knowledge of everything. People know Shabbat, people know the feast, but they don't know the name. What can you think about it? There's really no pride, there's no direction. There's no relationship. Knowing the name of Yahweh gives us the closer relationship to our Creator. Right? For example, if I don't know Eric's name, I cannot really be close with Eric. But since I know him and he knows me, that starts the relationship. That's why we are called covenant believers. Because we are not dealing with religions. We are dealing with relationships. And we are always wanting that, to have closer relationship with our Heavenly Father. And one important thing to have that closer relationship is to know His name. To honor His name. To call Him whenever we want to need. Whenever things we needed, we have to call His name. In Romans 10:1 until 3, it says here that some people will think that sincerity is enough, being good is enough. Let's try to write this one here. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. So, it's just like faith, false faith, because not according to knowledge. False zeal. People have zeal. I saw many Catholic women going to the altar, kneeling to the altar. We can see their sincerity, right? But not according to knowledge. That's why we are really having this duty to really reveal His name in order for them to refrain their faith, to redirect their faith to Him alone. And no other people will, no other being will receive the glory. Satan wants always aliases, right? People, bad people always wants aliases. When they go from place to place, they use alias in order not to reveal their own personal name because they want to. Like Satan, he always has aliases. But good people always give their true names, right? So you can see the contrast to this one, that Yahweh wants His name to be known to His people. And of course, heart is not our heart. Here, let's continue for last verse, Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Yahweh. It is self-righteousness. So most of the pastors today have that kind of attitude. They have that self-righteousness, the righteousness which are not directed to our Heavenly Father Yahweh. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruits of his doings. So, we can trust the heart. Now let's discuss about the don'ts on the name. Exodus 27 and Deuteronomy 5:3 has the same context on this one. You shall not take the name of Yahweh your of him in vain, for Yahweh will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. And in Deuteronomy 5:11 it says here, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your of him in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We can see here unpunished in the Exodus, and in Deuteronomy, guiltless. So anybody taking his name in vain should be punished and should not remain guiltless. There are many ways we might break this commandment. Now this is a very important thing we have to know. First, by denying his name and not using it, many people have done this over time. Denying his name and not using it, he will not be honored by not using his name. Malachi 1:6. Second, by using it by pride and arrogance and not by faith. Many people think, I believe on Yahweh. It's me and Yahweh, right? We always heard that. It's me and Yahweh. And they don't take any responsibility on what they believe. And that is because of pride and arrogance. Even they might know the name, but their lives are not changed. They still remain, and they are still remaining in their unbelief. Hebrews 11:6, we can find it. Hebrews 11:6 that we cannot please the Father without faith. And thirdly, many people don't take a great responsibility and just say, I don't care what other people say. It is misrepresenting Yahweh by living in sin. Some people will say, I believe, but still living in sin. What I mean is, they practice sin. We all sin, right? But if you live in sin, it is a practice in sin. Living in sin, which Yahweh is not well pleased about that. It says in Matthew 5:16 that we are the light of the world, that whatever people look at us in our good deeds, they will praise Yahweh. So we can give honor unto Yahweh. Whatever deeds, whatever things we do, good things we do, they always honor our Heavenly Father Yahweh. But in opposite, if we do something very bad, as we believe in Yahweh, we will profane His name. It's very dangerous in our believing life to have that kind of situation, profaning the name of Yahweh. 2 Timothy 2:19, it says here, let every man that nameth the name of the Messiah depart from iniquity. So, we can avoid these things by just sticking, keeping right, keeping doing the right thing, and keeping the commandments of Yahweh. In Isaiah 42:8, we have read it already. It says that I am Yahweh, that's my name, and I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to engraved images. So He does not want us to worship Him representing anything. He is Yahweh. He should be worshipped in that way. Not with graven images, not with any other names. It is His name alone. Why? Because in Exodus 34:14, it says, He says, for thou shalt worship no other Elohim. For Yahweh, who is jealous of His name, He is jealous of His name. This is like us. Sometimes we are jealous of our name. Right? So Yahweh is jealous of His name. He is a jealous Eel. He is a jealous Elohim. And now, is there punishment of not calling or confessing His name? Is there punishment? We will now come to reward and punishment. Jeremiah 10:25 says, Pour out your fury on the nations who do not know you. Pour out your fury on the nations who do not know you. And on the families who do not call on your name. It's very specific. The families who does not call on your name. For they have eaten up Jacob, yea, they have devoured him, and have destroyed him, and they have made his dwelling place desolate. And also in Psalms 79:6, it says here, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. So it goes more on general, the heavens and the kingdoms that does call upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Is there a reward of calling his name? Absolutely, there is. Psalms 91:14-16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Malachi 3:16 says, then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard him. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. He will be written in the book of remembrance. You will be remembered if you are always thinking or you are always talking not in a common way about the name Yahweh. Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Yahweh had said, and the remnant from Yahweh shall call. Everyone whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. It is in old times. But in the New Testament times, Peter says, directly quoting from this verse, in Acts 2:21, he says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. He addresses this for the Jewish people in his time. Peter addresses this. And of course, in Romans 10:13, this is Paul who says it to the Gentiles. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Three times in the scriptures it is repeatedly said that whosoever called upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved, shall be delivered. In closing, we have explored and discussed the importance of knowing, honoring, and giving glory to our Creator's name. Now our duty is to let other people know, not just us. To let other people know and believe and call on His name because it is a matter of salvation. I believe this passage that I will read in the closing passages that we will read will help us to do our task Abba Yahweh has entrusted us. Romans 10:9-15. This is a very important passage where we can draw how we will really do our task to proclaim Yahweh's name in these end times. As ambassadors of Yahweh, we have to do this. Like Paul have done this, and he says that, woe is me if I will not preach the good tidings. Preach the good tidings in season or not, in season. And it's written here. Because if you confess the Master Yeshua with your mouth and believe in your heart that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for the heart which believes in him shall be declared righteousness, and the mouth that confesses him shall live. For the scripture says, everyone believing in him will not be ashamed. This is taken from Isaiah 28:16. And verse 12, for there is no difference both of Yahudi and of non-Yahudi, for the same master of all is rich toward all, the one calling on him. Take note of this word, the one calling on him. For everyone who ever will call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. How then the many call on one into whom they have not believed? How can this call if they're not believing? So they should believe in order to call him. And how may they believe to one of whom they are not heard? So they need to hear, to believe, and to call. And how may they hear without a preacher? As ambassadors, we have to do this. To let people know that his name is Yahweh. And how may they preach if they are not sent? Even as it has been written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. Brethren, it is emphatic and it is imperative for us to really do, to bear fruit for his kingdom. And the first thing we have to do is to let the people know his name, thus establishing a relationship with them and to the Father. This is the connecting, this is one of the very basic things that we have to do to let the people know his name. And then after that, we can delve on many, many subjects. Shabbat, the feast days, and everything will follow. If they accept the name Yahweh and Yeshua, if they believe in that name, that is really things going easy. Because when I was converted to this, I just only know the name. I didn't even know the Torah. But after that, going always in the congregation, I learned so much. I learned many things. So the first thing is to lead the door open that people may enter into his kingdom. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah.